wife. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if you think about it, that type of love is an unselfish love. When I do marriage counseling for couples, one of the things I stress to them is that you are individuals, you're becoming together as one. That means you're going to lose your life too. Say amen. You're going to lay down your life. What did Christ do for the church? Husbands, you ought to love your wife. So ladies, which one of you wouldn't want to be loved just like Jesus? I haven't met a woman yet that say, no, I don't want that. Treat me bad. I don't want that. You know what? Treat me horrible. Men, we need to learn how to love, and God will teach us how to love. But if you take that next step in marriage relationship, you need to love like Christ loves the church. Thirdly here, a godly father loves his children. And when it comes to loving your children, discipline is also required in love. In Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, we can't go overboard. Colossians 3, 21 says this, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, lest they get discouraged. I shared with the first service, in all the years I was a youth pastor, I knew students, they really wanted to be disciplined. There are times it may came a little late, but there are so many students say, I wish my mom or dad would do this. Even though they fight you while it's being done, it works something far greater in the way to glory. I share with the first service, by the time, listen to me, they start sounding like you, they've already moved out. But that means there's an influence in their life. What you instill in them matters. And when we love, how many knows the Lord still brings conviction to his children? How many ever been disciplined by the Lord? How many ever had that conviction? Thank God. It also shows that we're in relationship because God does not discipline those that aren't his own. Say amen. He'll bring conviction from the Holy Spirit, but you can reject that. But listen, if you belong to him, he can work another layer. Come on. If you're taking notes, a godly father is a man of integrity. That means he walks uprightly. Listen, the real you is when you leave here in a few moments. The real you is when you wake up on Monday. What do you like? To be a godly man, you have to walk in integrity. That means you're consistent. I'll get to this in a minute. But you're consistent in your walk. Then listen to me, what you say you're doing. If you work at a secular job, do they know who your Christ is? Not that you got to blast everybody with the gospel, but you're walking in such integrity, they can see that you're different. Your speech is different. Your conduct is different. I shared with the first service, when I was a little guy, in fact, smaller than these guys, I would look out the window on Sunday morning, and I saw this family. Back then, we used to call them church clothes. I remember that. Those are church clothes. Don't wear those out in the dirt. And I'd see this family every single Sunday get in their vehicle and go to church. I knew they were. And I remember looking at my family going, why don't we go to church? And it was a myriad of ideas, a myriad of reasons. None of them really made any sense. But that was just the way it was. But I remember seeing this family. I could look out like clockwork and see them go. And it's like I looked at that. They made an impression on me even before I was saved as a little guy. I mean, it matters what we do. That family walked in integrity. Years later, I got saved. I got saved as a young person. And I remember my mother passed away and my dad put our flag at half mast. And by then, I was well out of the home. I was already finished with school. And I was visiting my father during the bereavement time. And this neighbor that I haven't talked to in 20 plus years, he's an elderly gentleman now, and he come across, he goes, look, we noticed your flag is half staff. Yes, my mother passed away. It was the same guy I saw as a little guy. He still remembered my family. Amen? And he said this, we always prayed for your mom and dad and you as children. I'm here today. Hallelujah. Even your neighbors pray for them. You have an opportunity to be that example. you're taking notes, a godly father is a role model for God. We share that same image as Jesus. That means God's our father. We're co-heirs with him. So fathers, listen, look at your life and say, you know what? My role model is my God. I want to be like him. That should bring comfort to others, but it also is an example. You older fathers in here, maybe your children have what going on, maybe their grandchildren, you can be examples to younger fathers. We need to be that to one another. Now, I appreciate this church that in every age, everyone's welcome. Even when we went on the streets, listen, I've been at big churches. I've been employed at big churches. I've never seen a group in 3 hours touch 3,200 homes. I don't care how big the church is. That's 1,000 homes an hour. If you think about that, that's pretty staggering. That's not only one-on-one talking too. I've had many of those when we were out. To God be the glory. But when I see a whole family, young and old, going out, it overwhelms my heart. Because you know what? We want God to use us, true? I appreciate you fathers leading that way in example. Yes, there's requirement. Yes, it costs. But it works something so great out. You become a role model, dads. I applaud you. I applaud you. And God the Father is pleased too. Amen? And when I look at Jesus, oh, how he loved the Father. He makes a statement in front of his disciples. I only do what pleases my Father. I only speak what he speaks to share with you. Isn't that so cool? His obedience was so great to his Father, even to the point of death, giving his own life. When the Father asked, Father, is there another way? And he looked at his son and said, Son, there is no other way. You must give of your life. He makes a statement, not my will, but your will be done. And since this is a reality, God has exalted Jesus and his name and his life, above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That means every person who's ever been born from now to whenever it ceases will bow to him. Aren't you glad you bowed now? Because one day they'll have to bow as judge. Oh, hallelujah. Secondly, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to look at verse 20. Tell me when you got it. When it comes to men, we need to be compassionate. Men who put relationships before results. In Philippians 2, verse 20, it says, For I have no other man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul's speaking here. He's saying, listen to me. Look at your life. I have no one more like-minded than my Timothy. I have no one more like-minded than those who have walked in the same faith. And let me say this to you. In this church, I have no more people like-minded than here. That we think the same things. We walk the same things. We're believing for the same things. How many knows there's power in that? But we have to look and say, you know what, men? We need to be compassionate. We need to put relationships before results. We need to look at others and say, you know what? It matters what we do. Come here, I need to help. How many knows a little hug? As my sister just shared, that she could tell even at 6 years old that her dad loved her. And when somebody experienced that love, no matter how many dads she had still move into her life, she can remember that love. We also need to have that. That we're tender-hearted one towards another in here. Yes, there's going to be times where we'll have to discipline. Say amen. You need to be thick-skinned no matter what. But the truth is that we need to be compassionate also. It makes a difference. It opens the heart to receive more. How many agree? Amen. In this result-driven society, everything's about winning. Everything's about this. Especially when it comes to sports. It's like either you're number one or you're second's the first loser. So the truth is that we live in that society. But I'm here to tell you, listen, in Christ, we're awesome in him. But when it comes to the lost, are we compassionate? What made a difference in your life? Are we ready to receive the world coming in? Come on. We have to mature quickly in these things. We have to look and say, you know what, God? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Secondly here, we need to be consistent. Men, we need to be consistent. Men who put character before conformity. In Philippians 2, verse 22, for we know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says this, he who walks uprightly walks securely, but he who perverts his ways becomes unknown or becomes vanished away. Men, we need to put character before conformity. On Monday, you're the same Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believer. No, but my work is this way. My school is this way. The people I hang with are this way. Then you can conform to that image. We're not called to be chameleons. We're called to live it out. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Neither am I ashamed of Jesus Christ. Man, he's changed my life. Listen, I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful that I have the things that I do. How many agree that God is awesome? The world needs to see the church arise. When it compromises, it loses. And let me make this bold statement. When we cease to be a church, we cease to be what God's called us to be. Not only members in particular, but a collective group. I know of pastors that are ashamed to call themselves a church. They'd rather call themselves a gathering or a group. Because for the world, it's like we're welcoming them in. The world's going to come in and look and say, you have no different than what I have. It's when we make a difference in Christ, when we show the character that God has, it makes the difference. If it's no different than the Elks Lodge or the Moose Lodge, then the church has lost its identity. We're blood bought, we're redeemed, we're called out of the world. Amen. We need to be consistent. Character before conformity. We can't conform to this world. It says be transformed. If we don't renew our mind, we'll conform to the ways of the world. We'll use worldly ways and think that the world is going to just say yes to that. But they're looking for the power of God. They're looking for a change. They're looking for men and women who are called by his name, that are different, that are called forth, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we have to change this here. This needs to be renewed by the Word of God. That's good preaching today. That's right. Fire in the pulpit, there's smoke in the pews. Amen? How many are starting to sizzle out there? Bless God. You get enough fire, everyone's ablaze. Amen? You don't need no watered-down gospel. You've heard enough of that. You need some fire shut up in your bones. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Third area here. We need cooperation. Men who put cooperation before being competitive. Come on, we need to work together in this. Philippians 2, verse 25. Consider my servant, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but a messenger of one who ministered to my needs. I love this. He's there. Hey, listen to me. We're working together. We're praying. We're concerned about one another. When one hurts, you know what? We all hurt. Amen? You know, on the streets, we'll have great results and we'll have some people who just won't like anything going on. That's part of the package. I mean, it's that we just walk through all of it. Yeah. You pray for those who despitefully use you. Okay, amen? My wife and I had that situation when we were on the streets. You know what we did? We didn't take offense. Lord, touch them. They need you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord, if they lash out, it's not because of us. It's because of you. Jesus said, if they hate you, they hated me first. So I just speak, Lord, touch that area. How many of us, the Lord can touch that area? Some of us may have been in that condition. Sometimes they make the greatest Christians too. When they turn, amen? What they were so opposed to the gospel, now they preach it. Hallelujah! We're going to see that happen. Pray for those. Cover it in prayer. When it comes to men, we need commitment. Those who put Christ before their comfort. I said those who put Christ before their comfort. In this country, we still have great freedoms. Yes, I know some of them being choked out. But we have brothers and sisters around this world that preach the gospel that get imprisoned. Some of them are called upon such torture to denounce their faith. Amen? How come that doesn't make the 6 o'clock news? How can we glorify this and skip over this so much? that's happening today around the world. People are rounded up for their faith. But I want you to know that many of them stand firm in that. Say, no, and I'm not denying. He's my Lord. Some of them have to huddle 4, 5, 6 people at a time around one Bible alone. Some, as many as 20, have one Bible between the whole group. And when the word is open, the tentativeness is so great, share another line. There's a Bible in every grocery store around this whole country. It's not even listed as the bestseller, even though it is every year. But just because we got a copy of it doesn't mean we're reading it. Say amen. I mean, Lord, we need to be more in what he has. I said we need more commitment. Those who put Christ before their comfort. In Philippians 2, 25 through 27, it talks about his fellow worker. Verse 26, he longed after you, even when he was at the point of being sick. Yet indeed he was unto death, but God had mercy on him, not only him, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He swore by his own hurt. Sometimes we got to do that also. It may be a discomfort to serve the Lord, but swear by your own hurt. Tough, I'm going. Amen? I know he's not here in this service. Scott on the worship team, he worked last night. He worked a 12-hour shift. Got off at 7 a.m. Says, I'm coming to lead worship today. He didn't want anybody to know, but I'm letting you know. I mean, that's swearing by your own hurt. Says, Lord, and then he's got to go back tonight and go back to work because he wanted to serve. Amen. Sometimes you got to look at it and swear by your own hurt. We have to look at it and say, God, I'm going to live for you. It may be uncomfortable. It may be you have to change your schedule. I appreciate you parents doing it for your children, that they can see you share the gospel. They can work with you. It's a life-changing experience. I'm going to make this statement to you. I wish I had that as a kid. I didn't. When I got saved as a young person, my mother came to know the Lord later. So did my brother and sister. But I look at those family units like, man, that is so awesome. I applaud that. Amen. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. When he called me into the ministry, he said this, what you didn't have, you give to the people. Amen. And I'll be that to you. And God, cool. He restores all things. Even though experientially I may not have had it as a kid, I've walked through it many times in life now. Hallelujah. How many of God's a good God? Listen to me, men. We need to be men of courage to put service before our security. Sometimes we got to look at our life and say, you know what? I'm going to lay down my life. I said, I'm going to lay down my life. In Philippians 2, verse 29, receive him therefore with the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in high esteem because their work unto Christ, even though he came close to death, not regarding his own life, he supplied to me what was lacking in the service. That's a pretty good servant, wouldn't you say? We need that. Men, we can be that to one another. If a brother is down, even to the place where he's hurting, you can take that step. How about this? Maybe you're in that condition. You can still reach out. Even with physical limitations, you can still make a difference. Oh, no one's saying amen. How many of us, we can do that in our hearts. We can look at it and say, you know what? People matter. Men, people matter. We have to show that example. If we do, you know what? Christ shines through. Jesus said this in Mark 8, 35. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I love that. When you lay down your life, listen to me, you find it again in Christ. And that life is so much greater. For me, I always have real pity for those that are well off and never turn to the Lord. It's like you got your inheritance now, but there's no more after that. And it's amazing to me, the grave holds no thought of those individuals. Soon they become a distant memory. You came in with zero. You're going to leave with just Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of those that character matters? Every Pharaoh found out they couldn't take their stuff to the afterlife. Say amen. And if you'll read in Scripture, the Lord has always had a word in every generation, in every people group. He's saying now is the time to repent. Now is the time to get it right. You're seeing more unity across the board than ever before. That it's about light and darkness. How many see the separation? there has never been a fence. When somebody say I'm on the fence, there's never been a fence. Either you're for him or you're against him. That fence doctrine was just to comfort somebody's flesh. But more than that, you're starting to see that there's light and there's darkness. Jesus said, choose life that you may live. And if we're going to live, we need to live all out. Men, we need to set the example in the homes. Ladies have been covering the load for so many years. They've been sharing the responsibility of prayer. They've been holding the families up. Men, it's time to arise. It's time to be those men and say, you know what, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. You share in that load. That doesn't mean you take all the load, but you share that load. You share that prayer load. You share that comfort load. You share that example load. And you know what? There's something powerful when men get together and pray. There is something powerful about it. Ladies, how many would like to see more of that? Oh, that was really weak. That was like a golf clap. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, you Jesus. No, how many of us just shout? Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer. I'm not. I'm terrible at it. But if I ever do golf with you, here's my rule. You make as much noise as you can. You can scream when I go to hit the ball. In fact, you can even run my ball over with your golf cart. I don't care. Because I'm out there to have fun. Amen? So nobody ever golfs with me. Well, that, to me, that's fun. Amen? I'm not just talking about putt-putt either, all right? Now, I'm terrible at it, so I don't really go much. I'm probably worse at fishing, but hey, it's all good. But as for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. We lead by that example. Men, it's an opportunity. And I believe this with all my heart. Ladies, how many want to be loved just like Christ?
Amen.
I haven't met a woman yet that wants to say, no, just treat me bad. Just treat me horrible. That's the way I want to live up. No, men, love your wives. We start to learn that character. And men, I know we don't ask enough questions. But we still can watch each other. We can still learn. True? And when we finally humble ourselves, then we're good. The only thing good about technology is that we're starting to look at our phone for directions. Instead of going, yeah, I know where that is. Say amen.
Amen.
Remember when you used to have to write out the directions where you were going? You had to take shorthand. And if you missed a word and you got, was this left or right? How many here have ever gotten lost? How many of you have ever had to ask for directions? You went through that humble mode, amen? And it's usually at a party store or a gas station. And they don't know where they're going because they're half smashed anyways. Yeah, I think it's four down there, turn left by the big tree. You can't miss it. Man, you look for an hour for the big tree. Oh, that's another story. But as for me and my house, I'm going to do what? I'm going to serve the Lord. Men, we have to be that men of commitment and change. We have to be that compassionate one. We have to say, you know what? I'm going to put relationship above even my own agenda. In this high-paced world that just goes beyond whatever, sometimes we got to slow down and just make a conversation. I share with the first service, when my wife talks to me, I'm a fixer. If she has a problem, I'm a fixer. Sometimes my wife doesn't want me to fix it. She just wants me to...
listen.
She just wants me to what?
Listen.
How many knows this is the reality? She wants me to listen. That's all she wants. And when I listen, she feels better about it.
Amen.
Amen? How many know sometimes, Lord, help us. Men, sometimes you need to know how to be. Ladies, give them room so they can figure it out too. Say amen, because you're different creatures too.
Yes.
You process different, probably much faster. Say amen.
Amen.
I know even for me, I'm having great grace when I go into Target. I really do. I go there with just a willing heart. Amen. Because there's so many times I went in there not willing, or I went willing, or I went obedient, but not willing. Amen. But I'm really trying. How many else? Oh, Pastor, you're awesome. Amen. Those stores, thank you, Jesus. But the truth is, I want to be with her.
Amen.
How about each other?
Yeah.
We need to be with each other. I appreciate about this church is that when we go on an outreach, somebody will talk to somebody else. Somebody gets a chance to build a relationship with somebody else. Men, I want you to lead that way too. To make friends, you show yourself friendly. Amen? Work on it. How about this? Every now and then, because the ladies do too great a job, but every now and then, why don't you be a greeter? Give the ladies a week off. Ladies, would you mind if these men greeted you at the door? Yes or no? I'm not trying to take your job. But men, look at it. You can be a blessing. How many of those men, you can make somebody's day? Listen, we need to look for opportunities to be a blessing. If it's raining out and you got an umbrella, stop for a minute at the next car, I'll walk you in. How many knows that makes a big difference? We can be Christ-like no matter where we go. All we have to do is look. One thing my father taught me, even he was unsaved, was if somebody's got to tell you to do it, you're probably too late already. I took that as a child. You're right. When you come into the room, have you looked at the room? Did you walk by it or did you take care of it? Lord, help us. Amen. Jesus was that type of person. He always assessed the situation and he was ready to meet the needs. Well, we have the same spirit of Christ. To me, church growth is the character of Christ being portrayed in and through our lives. If it is, then God takes care of the rest. Amen? Because if we're not like him, then what are we like? Hallelujah. You enjoy this morning? How many want to be more like him? Men, happy Father's Day to you. We got a great commitment to keep up to. Ladies here, we appreciate all that you do as mothers. Amen? I want to thank all of you for sharing these testimonies. They're touching. But we have to take it to another level. How many want to put Christ above our comfort? Amen? How many want to push away conformity and walk more in character? I want it too. Everything that I preached here, I look at, I want to be like this because I see my Lord in this. How many here sometimes feel like, man, I may not have done this quite right. Lord, help me. As Carl mentioned, maybe sometimes you felt like a failure. God's help, you'll become victorious. There's no defeat in Christ. Hallelujah. It's not even a do-over. It's a renewal. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. And last here, how many really want to see that character shine forth outside of here? How many have some areas the Lord needs to adjust? Maybe an attitude or something you're doing. The Lord, and let me be honest. I'm still there too. Lord, I want this to be right. I want to make an example, listen to me, that God is good. I want to be that example to the world. Hallelujah. If you would lift your hands towards heaven, I want to pray for you. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, especially the fathers today. Lord, give them refreshing strength. And Lord, maybe their father has went on to be with you or passed on, Lord God. Lord, I pray your comfort and strength to be upon, Lord, with great memories. And Lord, as we continue to live and live for you, Lord, let us lay a legacy for the next generation. To be godly, Lord God, to truly, Lord, put you above even our own comfort. Lord, bless them. Let them have a great day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.